Warning, the following program is intended for sales professionals and sales professionals only. If you're easily offended or just bitch in general, this show is not for you. Now that's out of the way. Ladies and gentlemen, it's that time of the week again. Get your attitudes in check, your shit together, and get ready to take your sales game to the ultimate level. The Rockstar Closer Radio Program is broadcasted by salespeople for salespeople. You'll find no BS here, just straight talk from sales pros winning on the front lines every day. Now, without further ado, here he is, the man, the badass, the closer, the coldest salesman of our generation, Ryan Stuman.
Well, you know, I've been listening to that same theme song, that same introduction now for almost 3 years. It's amazing to think that it's almost 2016, and I've been hearing that same person that I paid $5 to on Fiverr give me some badass introduction that I wrote for myself. And it's sad that I have some news for you. That, you know, it's kind of hard for me to bring out because this has been a really defining show of my career. And I know I usually tell you guys I've got commercials and stuff for you to buy. And I do. You can always head over to HardcoreCloser.com and check out the new layout. Well, at this point, it's not necessarily new, but it's the newest layout. And see what all products and stuff and things that I can help you with. But I don't want to run advertisements on this particular show like I normally do, some grandiose sales pitch or whatever. So what I'm doing is letting you guys know that I'm retiring this show. This is the last one. It's kind of hard for me to even spit this shit out because, I mean, I've been doing this thing for a long time, 4 years now. I started this in the front seat of my car at a car dealership that I worked at so I could have insurance so that my son could be born and be safe. He was obviously going to be born one way or another, but and be safe and covered with insurance, and I didn't give up on my dream, and I did this in the front seat. And at the time, it was called Sales Finesse, and I didn't have any guests. I had a guy that's an F&I guy that would sit out there in the car and sometimes play co-host with me. But, you know, it's hard to find somebody to stick through the whole process, especially for years and years of nobody listening to this shit. Now my old episodes get a lot of listens, but in the beginning, that wasn't the case. You know, I didn't have the money to advertise myself, but I knew that I had a message for you guys and gals out there, and one day you'd listen to it, so I might as well start making the message now and have it out there. That way, when you're ready to hear it, the messenger was there, the message was there, delivered for you, right? When you're ready to hear the messenger was there. And that's pretty much what happened. That was kind of my plan all along. Hopefully one day I'll pick up some steam if I just keep doing what I'm doing, and I'll get there. And then one day I remember I had 50,000 views on one of my shows, 50,000 listens, I should say, and I thought, holy cow, a lot of people were changed by that. A lot of people were changed by that episode. A lot of people got some insight. And then I started having, I had those numbers, those 50,000 viewers, to turn around and take it to people like Garrett J. White and Kevin Nations and say, hey, you know, I have a lot of viewers on this show now, or a lot of listeners on this show now. I'd like to have you come on and introduce you to my audience because you can bring a tremendous amount of value. And I had on this show some of the biggest names in internet marketing and sales and all that other stuff. It's been an awesome run. You know, some people say, oh, it's been bittersweet. No, it's been sweet the whole time. I really enjoyed this. But I'm not leaving the podcast business. I've got too much content inside of me to not be creating these things on a pretty regular, pretty consistent basis. and I've decided to change the brand over, change the format over. We're not going to use Blog Talk Radio anymore. We're not going to continue on this platform that we use to feed to iTunes. I'm going to be switching over to another one. If you're on my email list at HardcoreCloser.com, you'll get all the details. But I'm starting a new show. We're going to do it via Ustream. And we're going to stream it live, you know, the video portion, and then it'll also be recorded as well as the audio. So we're just going to make it kind of a, when I have my guests on here, if you want, you can actually watch. I'm following Joe Rogan's model. Many of y'all know that's who I like as far as podcasts the most, and that's what he does. So it would only make sense for me to follow what the top guy is doing out there, right? And so there you have it. This will be the last show. Man, it's kind of hard to spit all this out. This will be the last show, and, you know, you'll just have to, like I said, be on my email list to get the details. The new show will be called Sales Talk with Sales Pros. It'll be people that are members of the group back there on our Facebook group that'll be in here in this show talking about everything. So it's kind of a weird moment for me here because it is weird to think of all this is coming to an end. So with that being said, though, I don't want to be all sad and everything on you guys. So just look for me to have a new channel if I bring this channel to an end. You know, so different than when good old Howard Stern went from broadcast radio to Sirius, right? Just think of it that way. Plus, I'll have some fresh intros for you, some fresh new faces, some fresh new people to meet. So with that out of the way, I am not about to go out like some little bitch, right? I'm not just about to have some show where I'm sitting here doing a recap or talking about past and reminiscing and all that. I ain't about to shortchange you motherfuckers like that. We're going to do this big time right here. I brought somebody on this show as a guest that has about as much energy as anybody I've ever seen. The guy is creating content left and right. And I don't say this because I'm like super awesome or I'm established or none of that stuff, man, but the guy reminds me of myself, just in the sense of the hustle that he's got. I mean, I see him putting videos out all the time in our sales pro group. I see him, and the videos make sense. There's a few people that put videos back there that, you know what I mean? But this guy's videos are on top of it. At first, I thought it was a little weird, but then I just found out that he was Canadian, so he just talked. We just had a different language than us. Not that he speaks a different language, but, you know, just like Australians, they speak English too. That's a little bit different language or slanguage, as we like to call it, right? But I watched this guy create blog posts, create videos, add value to groups, create his own groups, and do all this stuff that he's doing right now. Just like I was saying earlier, he's putting the message out there that from the messenger, that way when the person's ready to receive that message, it'll be there waiting for him. And I couldn't be happier to end this show, this whole entire show, right, with somebody, A, internationally, that's awesome, B, someone who's got a massive amount of value and sales skills that they can bring to the table, and C, somebody who's also a member of the Sales Talk with Sales Pro group that'll be leading us in to the next phase as well, right, to be in there, be a member, and probably on the future show as well. So without further ado, we're going to talk sales with my friend from Canada, Alan Dickey. Man, welcome to the show.
Hey, man, happy to be here, Ryan, and happy to be a part of the final one.
Yeah, man, I'm glad that we were able to organize this to where you were the last guy on here. I think for some of my audience that don't know who you are, I think they're going to be really intrigued by the way that you talk and the word tracks that you have and the things that you say, man. So I'm excited to have you on as the last person. You like leave with the mic dropped, right?
I'm all about mic drops, all about mic drops. And you know what? When given the opportunity to come and join you on here, I was jacked. It's very few people like yourself who get me excited about selling. Usually, you know, kind of like you alluded to, people look at me as that energy or that spark plug. So finding you and developing a relationship with you, this is cool, and it opens an opportunity for me to learn just as much every day, and that's awesome.
I agree, man, but let's do this. And just for a couple minutes, introduce yourself. Tell us where you're from, a little bit about your background and what you're currently doing, and then that way we'll let the audience know, because I know you, you know what I mean? So me and you would just start bullshitting right off the jump, start talking sales. But why don't you introduce yourself to everybody real quick before we jump into all that?
Yeah, 100%. So I'm Alan Dickey. I reside up in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and basically – you know, it's a story I'm sure a lot of people could relate to. You know, I'm the guy who didn't finish high school, not due to a lack of ability. It was an immense lack of interest for what they were teaching me. But the funny thing is at that point in my life, everybody told me I was going to end up in a factory banging a hammer. In fact, the way they made it sound, they had me thinking I should pour a warm bath, plug a toaster into a wall, and have them throw it to me. But for some reason, maybe I watched too many after school movies that said, I think I can. And I just wasn't going to accept that. So I found myself in the car business at the age of 20 years old. And I loved this idea because it allowed me to come to work, you know, dress in professional and more importantly, have an opportunity to earn an income that there really was no ceiling to. So I became infatuated with that. And at the age of 20 years old, you know, stepping away from $10 an hour opportunities and you know, making $5,000 a month made me feel like a rock star. And it sort of, you know, that passion and love just came from there. I ended up spending well over a decade in the automotive industry, performing at all roles, in the dealerships. And one of the things that, you know, would drive me crazy is I would sit and watch how things were being done. And, I would scratch my head until I was, you know, developing bald spots. It just made no sense. So a lot of the things I started to do on my own to be successful in my industry, I realized how effective they were. And then it was just a natural progression to say, hey, you know, our industry could use a lot of this and I could improve a lot of people's lives by sharing it. And so, about 5 years ago, I started my speaking and sales training business. And since I've been doing a ton of amazing things in our industry, you know, helping people grow and develop their businesses. And, helping develop salespeople, you know, and that's one of the things I pride myself on as well. I think in sales, people don't buy products or services, they buy people. I think the products and services tend to be secondary. And so I'm able to identify those individuals. And in doing so, in the last 5 years, I've brought over 200 people into our industry, some of which are earning six-figure incomes in their first year in the business. And as I'm sure you can appreciate, there's nothing better, with what we do than hearing a testimonial from somebody you've done work with and actually have positively been able to affect and change their lives. So, pardon me, that was a bit long-winded, but that's pretty much the Coles Notes version of who I am, where I'm at now. Got a lot of great stuff on my mind, much like yourself, that I want to put out there to the world, and we're just doing that one day at a time.
So is the majority of your clients, are they up there in your area? Are they in Canada, or you do international? You do stuff here in America too, or?
Well, it has been primarily up in Canada, and it's funny you say that. You know, I made it a goal, about a year ago to start expanding. And one of the great things, it's funny because here I'm sitting on this on this radio show with you, and you are one of those guys who I, spotted about a year ago when I started, made a decision to start taking these actions. And it's like you say, through the content you had created and perhaps put out, some time ago, but had it there for when the people were ready for it. You know, I was ready for it and started, catching a lot of it, saw its tremendous value and started to apply it, which has now, led me into opportunities that are bringing me south of the border. I mean, at the end of the day, I'm not afraid of anything, and I'll go to Dubai if that's where we got to throw it down. But we're slowly expanding outside of the Canadian marketplace into the States. And, I mean, the end game is whoever I can help. And, again, if that's to, Tibet or wherever, it doesn't matter. I'm into it.
Well, the reason I ask is the first thing I was going to ask is do you notice a difference between selling American and selling Canadian?
You know, that's a great question. It's funny because one of the things I get, accused of, and I don't know if that's the right word, but up here is a lot of the dealerships I do business with or any companies I do any type of sales consulting with, that's the first thing they ask. They say to me, "Are you American?" And, I take it as a compliment. I mean, the differences between the two audiences, Canadians were a bit more reserved, this is at least what they'll tell you. I tend to believe it's a disempowering belief from people who can't close. But, the Canadian customers tend to be a bit more reserved. They take more time to make decisions. Americans, are decision makers. They'll act, on the spot. These are some of the things that, you know, people up here share, the opinions they share and feel. Me personally, it doesn't matter. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, you sell products through providing features and benefits, and you close on them through logic and justification. As long as you're a human being, we're all the same. I haven't met one yet that if you cut their arm off, blood wouldn't pour out. So, you know, that being said, in my opinion, it's all the same deal. If you talk to, you know, Canadians as a whole, as I described, they're going to think that, you know, you guys are more aggressive and make decisions quicker.
You know, one thing that I really like about you, man, is you got more sayings than LBJ. You know, that was one of our presidents here. He's always quoted for saying, like, random stuff. Like, when he met Martin Luther King at the White House, he said, you know, I've always been a tall guy, but next to you, I feel tits high to a puppy dog. It's funny. You just said the same thing. I haven't met one yet that if you cut their arm off, they wouldn't believe. But I like the sayings that you have, man. Where do you get that stuff? You just practice through conversation over the years or what?
Well, you know, it's funny you say that because a lot of times people say to me, oh, have you read this book or have you read that book? And, you know, the answer is more times than not are no, I haven't. You know, I was just born this way. And I think what it is you know, it's a byproduct of having 50,000 conversations over the last 17 years of my life being in selling and sales. You know, man sharpens man, steel sharpens steel, and it's like anything. If you go to the gym every day and you're lifting weights every day, you know what? After a period of time, your muscles are going to grow. Well, the muscle I use every day is my tongue and my brain, and they're pretty well developed.
Yeah, I'll agree with that, man. So 17 years, 50,000 conversations, what would you say is like the one thing that your ace is at when it comes to let's take it slow at first when it comes to getting in front of people? Because it's one thing, you know, some of us have to make cold calls and have to do certain things. And then some of us are in my position to where people come to them. They let the marketing and stuff. So I know you've been on and really are on both ends of that equation. So what would you say is your one thing that allows you to get in, that you're just badass and you know that it just allows you to get in the door with people to strike up the opening conversation?
Well, it's funny. I've got three rules I live and die by for all facets of my life, and they're really quite simple. I mean, rule number one, where there's a will, there's a way. You know, I know you've heard it before, but don't take it lightly. Number two, I say to people, if you want to do something, you'll find a way. If not, you'll find an excuse. It starts and ends right there. And finally, you're the problem, you're the solution. So to answer your question, if I need to get in front of a prospective client, you know, it's a matter of figuring it out. You know, one might say, okay, I'm going to call them. Well, if I call them, great. If it doesn't work, I don't give up, because if I want to find a way to get in front of these guys, I will. If not, I'm going to find an excuse, and I don't do excuses. Again, it's going against my principle. So what this does is we're human beings. We are all creative human beings, you know, and we all have great, wonderful ideas inside of us. So how do you bring those out? How do you unearth them? Well, you have to do it by failing. And that's why I'm a big proponent of going for failure. So to get in front of people, you know, I've created some very unique strategies on how to do such, but it has been through a willingness not to accept failure. I'll give you an example. Getting in front of dealerships, you know, you go into a dealership, who is it I want to talk to? I don't want to talk to the sales manager. That guy's more times than not an inadequate salesperson who doesn't make decisions. I need to get in front of the owner of the place. So, you know, I go up to reception. Well, if I go and say, hi, can I speak to Mr. Smith? You know, it's funny. The receptionist turns into a cop. All of a sudden, she's asking me 20 questions. Well, why? Who are you? Do you have an appointment, et cetera? So, you know, after running into that so many times, I started a new approach. And I would come in and I would say, hi, good afternoon. I'm here to see Mr. Smith. And they would look at me and say, do you have an appointment? And I would say, absolutely, Alan Dickey, 10 o'clock. And they would look at me, and then they would call the guy, Mr. Smith, you're 10 o'clock here. And sure enough, the guy would come out, and he would look at me, and I would say, hey, Mr. Smith, Alan Dickey, happy to finally meet you. And he would look at me confused and perplexed, and he would say, do we have an appointment? And I would look him dead in the eye and say, no, but I got in front of you, and I can teach your sales staff how to do the same with their clients. Do you have 5 minutes to talk now? And it was a shocking,
like,
activating event. Yeah, well, that it's stuff like that that has
self-discovery.
You know, the
like, oh, yeah, it worked.
Yeah.
Self-discovery.
100%. Yeah, well, because you know what happens? You got to think about it. Everybody's customer and people in general are bombarded, you know, by sales pitches daily, whether it's what you're reading, whether it's people coming to the dealerships asking questions. So, you know, I've quickly found that if you show up and you're just one of the sheep, you're just the generic guy, hi, I'm from this newspaper, I'm from this product, I'm from this warranty company, oh, here's my business card, have them call me, they're brushing you off and you're never getting in front of them. And to sort of wrap up the thought, I use an analogy like this. I say to people, you know, if I had a pill that had the cure for cancer in it, and you had cancer, and I said to you, hey, take this pill, man. It's gonna cure you. You're going to be great. Well, and you're looking at me like, no, that shit doesn't work, da-da-da-da-da. Well, I'll jump on you, put you in a headlock, ram that thing down your throat. We're going to have an uncomfortable struggle for a minute. But you know what? That pill hits your gut and you realize you've been healed and you start to cry and sob like a child, I'll still be there to hug you saying, I know, brother, I know, but you're healed now. And that's how I treat my products and my services, because if you don't get in front of your competition with a conviction level that high, then they're not believing or drinking the Kool-Aid, and nor will they afford you the time to pitch it to them.
Yeah, that's true, man. I like that. So it's like the self-discovery and plus you're doing a pattern interrupt. There's a lot of stuff going on there, which I know you're really big into the psychology behind sales. We had talked about that before on one of our phone calls, man. But, I mean, there's a – and sometimes, you know, what salespeople take at for granted, I would say, like, is – that something that simple, they think, oh, man, well, that wouldn't work in my industry. But you don't know until you try it. It works anywhere. Trust me, if you can get something over and make it work in the car industry, it'll work anywhere, because those guys, as you know and I know, are ruthless, and they have seen it all and have been, especially an owner or GSM, they have been through it all. Hell, they had to do it to get where they're at. It's kind of like your kids. You're like, you can't get that over on me, man. I invented that move, you know. So those guys, you have to do something. And if it works with them, then it pretty much will work with any other company as well, you know. And again, like I said, the salespeople take for granted some of the easy stuff. And while that sounds like an easy approach, it is a simple approach. It is, but at the same time, there's a lot of powerful principles behind it that allow that self-discovery to happen for that to be an effective way to get in front of people. I really dig that, man. See,
well,
learning something on my own show every time.
Well, you know, I say it like this, you know, regardless what it is you want in life, you can't bluff life. You can't sit down at life, you know, like a poker game and make weak bets. Life knows when you're bluffing. But here's the unique principle. You know, when you half-ass things, when you say, yeah, I want to be great, you know, I just watched a great tip from Ryan Stuman, I'm going to go put it to practice, and you put it to practice once, it doesn't work, and you start second-guessing yourself, giving up, et cetera, you know, life knows you're faking and that you're bluffing. But when you come with an approach where, you know, you say to life, hey, man, I know success is something I deserve, and it's something I'm claiming. I've made that decision. It's going down now, you know, and you say, I'm going to go to 1,000 or 100 prospects today. In fact, I'm not letting the sun set on the day until I have a conversation with one of the decision makers, you know, I need to be talking to. Until you get to that convicted level of, you know, I'd rather be dead than not taste and attain what it is I'm out to get, life won't let you through. But when you come through with that and it's real and you're behind it, it's like life almost turns into Moses and splits the waters for you and says, finally, you've arrived. And then it gives you everything you wanted easily. I mean, I would almost ask you the question, you know, because, you know, your story is similar. As you were breaking through, you know, did you notice that point where you were all in? You were like, I'm not going to be denied this. And when that became that real, did you notice, you know, things kind of opened up and started to roll for you?
Well, so that's a good question. Nobody's ever asked me that. I remember a very specific point in early on. We're talking like I still had my corporate job early on, where I was sitting in the garage smoking with my then wife's ex-wife now, but then wife, and I told her, I said, listen, I got this thing that I want to do, and I have been successful at things that I went all in the past, and what I want to do is I want to pursue this. I think it's my dream. I know it's my dream. I think it's something that I can be super successful with, but I can promise you that probably the first 6 months to a year, it's going to be really hard, but I know that punching through it, if we'll just make it through this first 6 months to a year, punch through this thing and it'll work. Well, it turned out it was about 2 years, and she didn't make the ride, right, which is understandable. But I remember that moment thinking, you know, hey, I'm going to get committed, and I just wanted to let her know at the time. It's like, hey, this is what I'm about to get committed to, and it's about to be a bumpy ride. But I knew at that moment that I had only made my mind up to do something like this one other time in my life, and I had accomplished it. So I knew. I thought 6 months to a year would be a over projected exaggeration, so that, you know, if I got her convinced at 6 months, but turns out I was way under, because the average person watches, it took forever for me to get my name out, but the average person watches me for 6 to 8 months before they make a decision anyway. So, but yes, I remember going all the way in and thinking, hey, there's no turning back, and burnt bridges and did everything that I could to make sure that I had no fallback. Because one thing I know is that if you put a safety blanket underneath me, every now and then I'll relax and fall down and lay on it and just kind of catch my breath. If you don't put a safety blanket beneath me, it's go time every single day of my life, because I know if I fall, then there ain't nothing there to help me. Like, if I came from a family with money that I could just go hit up when things were wrong and say, hey, can I have some money, and they would pay my bills, I would never be as successful as I am today. But I know that if I don't pay, I just pay my rent for we recorded this. If I don't pay my rent, then I know that I'm homeless in 3 days here. So I have to perform and able to be able to live, you know. I don't have a set of fallbacks. And so that to me has been a huge motivator too, just for the fact of knowing that, you know, A, I'm committed, and B, there's no turning back. It's like, well, you have no choice, just like you said.
Well, and here's the funny thing, because these experiences, and it's very similar with me as well, they've created a bunch of fundamental principles, you know, that I teach people. You know, one of them, and you've just described it, you know, pressure equals prosperity. A lot of the new sales reps that I bring into the automotive industry, you know, they're making $5,000 a month, and you know, they're cool with that, but they see me as a role model and what I'm preaching to them, and they want more. They want to make six-figure incomes, et cetera. And I say to them, all right, well, like, you're living at home right now, pal. Go out and rent an apartment tonight, and you will be on your way to making that money. And then they look at you like, well, wait a minute, man. Like, I've got no rent, and there's food in the fridge every Thursday. I don't want to leave that. And that's just it. You know, pressure will drive you to prosper. And another funny thing that you spoke to, and I would even ask you about, you know, that point where your ex-wife, you know, wasn't making the full ride, when she left the picture, would you agree that your focus on your purpose just intensified?
Yeah, because at that point, I even had something else to prove, right? To be, you know what I mean? And the other thing, because, I mean, I really did. And the other thing was, I mean, it did, because then I wasn't distracted as well. But, I mean, I honestly went from, and I'll be real right here on the radio show, man. I went from, you know, making 10 or 15 grand a month, and spending nine of it to live, probably, and that's not after taxes, you know what I mean, and cost, to try to reinvest in my business and stuff, and living in a $300,000 home. And she went the week after we split up and did our thing. I had to move out of that house, obviously, because we go to court and put it for sale and all that. And so I literally moved into my first penthouse, and did exactly what you said. I was like, hey, man, you know what? I'm tired of living at this $10,000 with $9,000 worth of bills every month to be able to run this business where really I'm only making a grand. I'm going to put myself in a situation to where I have an expensive rent, an expensive lifestyle, and it's going to make me step up. And I shit you not, within 90 days, my income increased tenfold, right, from 10 grand to six figures within a month, because I put myself in a position to be able to do that and perform. And then once I started performing, I realized how easy it was and how much I have been holding myself back. And I'll probably have another realization like that at some point in the future again. But it really was. It was like, holy shit, the pressure's off of me. I can get one of the things is I have a girlfriend for a year now that we're really serious. Mm-hmm. And she lives with me. And, you know, one thing that was about too when I was single was, if I wanted to wake up at 4 a.m. and jam the radio and start writing content or whatever, I could. Now I had 2 kids and a girlfriend, I can't do that anymore. Those days are gone. But that really helped my creative streak as well.
No, and that, like, it's funny because, you know, you talk about, you talk about where you're at now, and you know, I see what you're doing, and that's definitely been something that's allowed us to hook up. Is hey, man sharpens man, steel sharpens steel. You're obviously doing a lot of incredible things, and you know, there's a lot I can learn from guys like you, which is why you know we've connected, and this is and so great. And one of the things with me, being at the stage I am. I think it's no different. The vision of the end game is just as crystal clear for me as yours is for you. You know, perhaps we're at different stages of the race, but it'll for me personally, and I'm sure it was the same with you. It allows me the opportunity where I'm in a point where money's coming in, you're putting it back out, you're reinvesting in what it is you're building here. But it's funny. I remember you remember Biggie's movie, right? I remember that.
Yep.
When Pac said to Biggie, he said to him, "Never mind where you're," or he said, "Enjoy yourself now. You'll never have more time than you did on your way up." And so that's something I keep in my mind, and I encourage other professionals as they're building, the lives they want to create. Enjoy that ride, because it's funny to share the stories, like you are and I am now. And to reflect back upon them, especially as you get to next levels. But then, again, like you mentioned, you get to the level you're at now, and it's like, man, I'm not a guy who stands still. What's next? And which is ironic that we're talking about that on this last show, transitioning into the new one, right?
Right. Well, on every level, there's a new headache. The headache never goes away. You don't get to the next level and go, okay, and now I don't have a headache anymore. You just got a headache in a different part of your head. For example, when I was in the come-up, we'll say I'm still in the come-up. We're always in it. But in the beginning of this, my deal was I wanted more people to sell. I had all the time in the world, and I wanted to talk to more people. And my goal at the beginning of this year, in 2015, was to be able to get in front of 1 million people a month. I had no freaking clue. I was doing 3,000 a month at the time, so I had no idea how that was going to happen.
Wow.
But that was a goal, right? You got to set a big-ass audacious goal, right?
Yeah.
And so I had no idea, but that was how I wanted 1 million people a month to be able to get in front of them. So, on the come-up time, my headache was I didn't have enough people to get in front of to be able to offer my help to, right? I mean, you're hunting for leads every day, and people are starting to get to know you and everything else. Well, now, a year later, as we start to close this year out, I'm in front of 2 million people a month, and my headache now is I don't have somebody to help me help these people, because the curve back then was I know all this stuff, and I have the time to be able to help these people. Well, now I'm sitting on hundreds of clients, thousands of people that have bought my digital products that reach out for questions and things like that. I don't have tech support. I have an assistant who's awesome.
Yeah.
I love her to death, right? But I don't have those things. So my headache now is if I'm going to sell it, it's got to be me, because I don't have time to train somebody else. I've got to be able to do it through email and text, which a lot of sales guys want to talk on the phone and stuff like that. So it never goes away. It's always just something else. I wouldn't trade it.
Well,
though.
And
I kid you not, because I'll get this shit licked.
Because you know what the funny thing is, though, and a great reminder to your listeners, the whole goal is every single day you should be striving to create new problems. What's a better problem to have? I've got 2 million people, I can't handle them all, or man, I'm looking for 10 because I need to pay bills this month, right? So That is an amazing problem to have, and back to the Biggie references, more money, more problems, right? It doesn't get easier.
Yeah, you're right. It doesn't get easier. And the bad thing in my situation, and you'll find yourself in this. I firmly believe you'll find yourself in this situation too. Is it's not necessarily more money, my problems. It's more money, their problems. Because now 2 million people have said, "Oh shit, I need help with that." You know what I mean? Or maybe they haven't said they need help with it in some form or another, but they've engaged with it on some form or another, right? This isn't just a number I'm making up. This is what shows on how many people read my Facebook posts on a monthly basis from the Facebook stuff that goes in there. So the reach that it gives you. So being able for those people, that's 2 million. Let's say that it's 1 million people looking at it twice a month, right? Then let's say that that's a million new problems that are coming. There's not a million Ryans. in the entire planet, right? There's only one, but there's some people close, like I consider you one, that will be able to solve a lot of those problems too, man. But it's not more money necessarily my problems because I only got one. How am I going to help these people who have a million, you know?
Right, right, right. And, it's one of those things that, and this is a good reminder for people as well, the reason you're so successful is because of the uniqueness of you. And you know, while, again, you've got those challenges and you will, you know, figure them out, I'm certain, it's one of those things that, you know, people, they want to deal with the hardcore closer. That's who they want to deal with, and they don't necessarily want to deal with the other guy. And it's an interesting challenge. But I think the message there, you know, for all salespeople in any and all industries is you need to become that individual to your client. You know, if you're an insurance agent, a car sales representative, a real estate agent, you know, you need to be that real estate agent to your client that, you know, is invaluable. The one that they say, you know, the only person we can buy our home from is Bob, because Bob knows where to find the good deals, get the best mortgage rates, and he's efficient in showing us properties or whatever the case may be. So, you know, I think those are two models of success. You know, what you're doing and what I'm aiming to do as well, that other sales representatives can focus on, you know, bringing that uniqueness that is them. Human beings, we're like snowflakes. No two are the same, right? So that's right. Something that people, I think, could definitely focus and learn from on how to, you know, attain the type of success you're experiencing.
Well, let's do this. As we bring the show to an end, as we're almost out of time here, I think that it would be totally appropriate to close this episode, this entire show, and open up this new page by, you know, we talked about how do you get in front of people, and you gave us a brilliant, hey, I'm here for a 10 o'clock appointment. Hey, do we have an appointment? No, but I can teach you how to get your guys this. Dude, that was brilliant. So what is, when you fucking know that somebody needs your help, that they have the means, and you will do anything to make sure, because they're the only thing in their way, and you know you can help them, you know they need your help, what is it that makes you, Alan Dickey, what is your close when you go in on somebody like that?
Are you ready for it? Is the audience ready for it? Because I'm about to deliver a pearl.
That's what's up, man. We don't expect anything less.
So I'll preface it with this. You know, I personally have created a selling system. I call it ACE selling systems, attitude, conviction, and energy. I believe if you have those three things in place, you can go anywhere. And you can reword this any way you wish to reword it, but the message is the same. And what I tend to say, you know, hey, listen, Mr. Customer, the only thing that separates, you know, Alan Dickey or whoever, Bob Smith, in this case it's me we're talking, Mr. Customer, the only thing that separates Alan Dickey from the other, you know, however many sales trainers that you could do business with to potentially grow, develop, and build your sales team is what I'm willing to do over and above, you know, in the name of succeeding in our mutual, you know, goal. And that is the hands-on service, the ability to relate to human beings. I'm not a robot. I'm not a template teacher. And most importantly, you know, there's no theory with Alan Dickey. I'm not here to wax poetically with a gold watch on my wrist about what I did 30 years ago. I'm all application. And everything that I'm going to train and teach our team, I'll be willing to step out and do at the drop of the dime, at the snap of a finger. I'm that guy. But here's the key line. I say to them, Mr. Customer, the only time you will ever, you know, have the opportunity to experience all of these wonderful things that I'm telling you I can deliver and I can provide to your organization is when you are willing to go for failure with me to experience them. I always say, Mr. Customer, nobody will pay you for a first impression, but you'll never get paid unless you make one, and I'm confident I've made one with you today. And you have a gut, figuratively speaking, to discern for yourself whether you're drinking my Kool-Aid or not. If so, lean on the pen, let's shake hands and get this started, and let me show you how great a decision you've just made. It's conviction, man. It's confidence, and it's being able
confidence.
To sling and, yeah, to wield this conviction. We all grew up and played Street Fighter, right? Everybody remembers Ryu and the way he'd shoot those fireballs out. Well, you know what? Yeah, exactly. So conviction is your fireball, and it's invisible, but let me tell you something. People feel it. Okay, and you can sling it to them like arrows. And, you know, when you're able to look somebody in the eye and just basically state the obvious, You know, no one's going to know here. None of us are God, and I can't show you a glimpse of the future. The only time you'll be able to experience what I could potentially do for you is when you develop a willingness to go for failure with me to experience it. Who knows? It just might be the greatest decision you've ever made in your life. And if you say that to a guy with the right conviction, the right attitude, conviction, and energy, oh my gosh, the amount of deals I've closed with that one, Ryan, it's silly.
It's funny you say that, man. I've been holding my tongue, but when I have somebody that I take into some of my high level, which I assume you're selling high level stuff too, when I have somebody that I'm taking into one of my high level $20,000 programs that I want in there, I know they're on the fence. They're just a little scared because they've never invested on that level or they've never gotten results in the past because they've been misguided by the wrong people or whatever. I tell them the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
The difference between me taking your money and anybody else taking your money is that if you call me at 3 o'clock in the morning and you have a problem, when I get up at 4:30 or 5, I'm on top of your problem with you. I'm willing to go all in just as much as you are. But here's the thing. If you don't call me, if you don't contact me, if you don't let me know these problems, I can't handle them with you. I am willing to do anything I can. Matter of fact, if you do everything I teach you and it don't work, I'll go get the shit done for you. That's how convicted mm-hmm. I am that this happened. But I just want you to know that it's up to you how much you get from me, but I'm willing to go all in with you. You won't get that from anybody else, which is really similar to what you just said, you know?
Yeah.
It really takes because you're convicted. You're like, hey, I know I can get these results for you. If you'll take the chance on me, it could just, like you said, I don't say this, but it's perfect what you said, could just be the best decision you ever made in your life.
And you know what? It's funny because you talk about, you know, here you are. You've got the sales game down. I mean, you know what you're doing, but you've got this other incredible aspect of marketing. And I mean, it's almost like, you know, you could view a salesperson, you know, maybe this is a bad analogy, I don't know, but, you know, like a soldier, and the sales guy's got a sword. But a guy like you who's got the sword and the ability to market, that's like having the shield. You're ready to go to battle and win. And one of the things, you know, I could personally attest to is that is one of the things that, you know, I initially reached out to you for is to say, hey, man, like I see you, you know, your game's tight and you know what you're doing. I need a little bit of schooling on this marketing end of things. And that's another key trait of successful people is humility. But what I can attest to is humbly reaching out to you to say, hey, man, this is an area of my game I can improve, and I know you're a guy who can do that. Man, I've reached out to you on a number of different occasions, and you're always there. I've never had to find you. So, I mean, I totally understand why that's worked, why that's effective, and why it set you apart from your competition. No question.
Man, that's really cool. So here's the thing. We got a couple minutes left on this show. The last little bit, why don't you tell people where they can find you, your website, your blog, something like that, so the people that are listening to this, they know where to reach out to you.
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, my website, it's me, it's my name, alandickie.com, and that's alandickie.com. You can find me on Facebook. You can also find me on YouTube. I've got my YouTube page there that's really filled with a ton of content. And you know what? There's a ton of stuff being put together that's going to be released over the next, you know, 6-12 months. I'm in that exciting phase of, you know, my career where, you know, I'm emptying my brain, if you will, but I'm finally getting it all to paper, getting it all on video, capturing it all. And it will be available. So, you know, through Facebook, through my website, through my YouTube pages, you can hook up with me and you know, come along for the ride. There's a ton of great stuff there. Got a lot of feedback from people who have witnessed the content I put out there already. It's making them lots of money. It's affecting their lives. You know, just great stuff's happening. And as I say, you know, moving forward, there's a lot of exciting stuff coming down the pipe, and I look forward to all people who want to come along for the ride.
Yeah, man. Well, I appreciate you. You did not disappoint me or anybody else. Hell, I learned a lot just listening to you. That's why I shut up most of the show today, because, man, you have a lot of gold. I truly believe, those of you out there listening to this, I truly believe that you need to follow Alan. I believe in 2 years, 4 years, 5 years from now, you'll be like, man, I remember when that dude was on Ryan's show. I remember one time I followed this band here in Dallas, they're Drowning Pool, the lead singer I knew him kind of like in passing and stuff like that. And so, you know, I go to their shows and hang out with them and smoke weed and shit like that, you know, and so be like the rock and roll guy. And so I remember my favorite band, they opened up. My favorite band at the time was Seven Dust, and it's still one of my favorites, but Drowning Pool opened up for Seven Dust. Then a year later, Drowning Pool had the Body song that got really popular here in America. And then, like, I remember going to the concert the next year, and the Seven Dust was opening up for Drowning Pool, you know what I mean? And, like, a 10 times the size stadium. And, like, I really believe that you and